The word of God that we consider this afternoon is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 18, beginning with verse 3. So Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Again he asked them, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled, "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus commanded Peter, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Then the detachment of soldiers with its commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. This is the word of our God. For our Lenten worship this year, we are considering the theme, Names of Wondrous Love. You may recall that last week considered the name Jesus and focused on the scripture reading from Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. This afternoon we consider another name of, that is, a name of wondrous love, and that is Emmanuel. Do you ever notice that sometimes Emmanuel is spelled with an I and other times with an E? I'm not sure there's a lot of significance to it, but the Hebrew version of this word sounds more like an I sound, and the Greek version of this word sounds more like an E. Really doesn't matter, though. They both mean the same thing. They mean God with us. Now, there are only two places in the Bible where the name Emmanuel is used. And we're going to get to our scripture reading, but we're going to take a little detour through the Old Testament and through the Gospels first. One of the places that the name Emmanuel occurs the very first time is in Isaiah chapter 7, and also then it appears again in Isaiah chapter 8. And let's meet some of the characters back in Isaiah's day. Because understanding the context and the circumstances will help us appreciate the significance of the name Emmanuel and what it means. First of all, there's King Ahaz. He was king down in Judah. Not a good king. One of the most wicked of all of the kings of Judah. He's the guy who went and put in the temple in Jerusalem an altar to an idol. And what's worse, he sacrificed one of his own sons on the altar. A human living sacrifice. His own son, thought to be Rimmon. Not a good king. Then there are two other kings we hear about in Isaiah chapter 7. One is King Pekah. He's the king of the northern tribes of Israel. And he had joined an alliance with another king a little farther up the road, King Rezin of Aram or Syria. And his capital city was Damascus. And even yet today, Damascus is still the capital city of Syria, where we're hearing about so much bloodshed and violence. Well, Pekah and Rezin decided that they should form an alliance against the really big bully of the day, And that was Assyria, just a little north and to the east. And they tried to convince King Ahaz, you come join our alliance and we'll be stronger and we'll stand up against the bully. But Ahaz said, no, I don't want anything to do with your alliances. I'll be fine all by myself. And so Pekah and Rezin said, okay, if that's the way you want it, we're coming down with our armies. They surrounded the city of Jerusalem, trying to wipe this guy off the face of the map. They were not successful, but it left King Ahaz living in fear. So God sends the prophet Isaiah to King Ahaz one day to tell him he has nothing to be afraid of about Pekah and Rezin, his neighbors to the north. And Isaiah brings along a son of his, a man by the name of Shear Jashub. His name means something. His name means a remnant will return. Even in the name of Isaiah's son, he's coming to King Ahaz with a promise of God. There will always be a remnant to return to Judah, which was a promise that God made to King David. He says that your kingdom will not end. Ahaz didn't believe Isaiah. In fact, Isaiah gave one promise after another that God is going to be with you. He's going to protect you. He's going to care for you. You don't have to worry about your enemies to the north. They're not going to be any trouble for you. And Ahaz refused to believe it. In fact, he just remained silent. So Isaiah took another tact. And he said, King Ahaz, tell you what, you ask for a sign. Any sign you want, and God will give you a sign to confirm that you've got nothing to fear. King Ahaz refused. I'm not going to ask God for a sign. And then Isaiah spoke the very familiar words we know from Isaiah chapter 7. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. A second child comes on the scene in Isaiah's day. And this one is Emmanuel, born of a virgin. Another promise that God will always be with you, King. And yet King Ahaz doesn't believe him. Fast forward to chapter 8. Isaiah comes back later to King Ahaz and said, I'm here to tell you again, you've got nothing to worry about the two kings to the north. And before he did this, God directed him to put up a big scroll, kind of like a billboard. And on this big scroll, God told him, you write this name, Maher Shalal Hashbaz, which means quick to the plunder, swift to the spoil. By that, God was telling King Ahaz, they're going to be plundered. Your enemies to the north, the northern tribe and Syria, you have nothing to worry about. And to drive this home, Isaiah's wife was pregnant at the time. And God tells Isaiah, name your son Mahar Shalal Hashbaz. How would you have liked it to have your parents name you, give you a name like that? But it was significant. It was another reminder to King Ahaz that God was not going to forsake him. And yet King Ahaz did not believe him. Within 12 years, the Assyrians, the bully from the north, would come down and defeat the Syrians and the northern kingdom of Israel, just as Isaiah had promised. But King Ahaz didn't believe it. He didn't want to have anything to do with the true God of heaven and earth. He put his trust in his armies. He put his trust in other alliances. And as a result of his unbelief, he and the people of Judah would eventually face the same fate that the northern tribes did. Don't be afraid. I am with you, God says. And that's the meaning and the significance behind the name Emmanuel, We see it in the life of Jacob, of Moses, of Joseph, in the Judges' early church, the Apostle Paul, don't be afraid. I am with you, Emmanuel. The second time the word Emmanuel occurs is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, where we have the birth of Jesus. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. We don't usually talk about Emmanuel during the Lenten and Easter season. It's always at Christmas. And you know that very familiar hymn, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. It's one of my favorites. Maybe it's one of yours too. Those are the only two times that the name Emmanuel is actually written in the Bible. And yet, the truth of God with us is found throughout the Bible. In fact, it was the very last thing that Jesus said before he ascended into heaven. What did Jesus tell his disciples before he ascended into heaven? He gave them the great commission to go and share the good news with all creatures. But then he gave a promise. And what was that promise? You know it. Surely I will be with you always. God with us, Emmanuel. At the beginning of Matthew's gospel, he refers to that, and at the end of his gospel, he refers to Jesus as being Emmanuel. But aren't there other examples in our lives of where God today is still with us? We open up our Bibles and read it. We have His Word. His Word is with us. We come to the sacrament. And what does He tell us? He says, take and eat. This is my body. We receive His body together with the bread. We receive His blood together with the wine. Well, think about what Paul says to the Galatians. He says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. God is with us, Emmanuel. And someday you and I are going to die. And what does the psalmist remind us of as we face death? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear. Why? Because you are with me. God with us, Emmanuel. Emmanuel is a name of wondrous love because it is the promise that God will never leave us or forsake us, and so we have nothing to fear. So let's just briefly get to our scripture reading for today because it gives us the evidence that Jesus is Emmanuel. Our scripture reading takes place in the Olive Grove. After Jesus prayed, they crossed the Kidron Valley and went to the Grove of Olives. And there, the disciples are interrupted by a mob. A detachment of soldiers, representatives of the chief priests and the Pharisees, all led by that traitor Judas. They're coming to get Jesus. And if you have the authorities after you, you probably might cower and hide, maybe even try to run away, but what does Jesus do? He goes out and greets them. And he meets them and says, guys, who are you looking for? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus' response is, I am he. And did you catch when we read it before what happened? The whole mob took a step back, and the next thing they know, they're lying on their backs on the ground. Jesus had power even with just his words. I am he, he says. He's the I am God, the very God who said one day on the very first day of creation, let there be a universe. And there was. And so a second time Jesus asked him, who is it you want? And they say, Jesus of Nazareth. I told you, I'm he. I'm here. Take me, but let these other men go. And that's when Peter gets involved. Peter pulls out a sword and he cuts off the ear of Malchus, who was one of the servants of the high priest. Did you ever kind of try to picture this? I'm not sure how this went down. You know, with a sword, usually you're trying to stick it into somebody. Or maybe trying to cut off a portion of the body. I don't know how Peter was with a sword. I mean, he was a fisherman. Was he like one of those little kids with a sword, a play sword in his hand, kind of flailing around, and he happened to cut off the ear of Malchus? Was he aiming for the head, trying to crush his head, and kind of went off to the side and caught his ear? Or was he trying to cut off his head? And what happens if somebody is taking a swing at your head? What do? You duck. I don't know. Maybe that's how it happened. But Jesus nevertheless says, wait a minute, Peter. Put your sword away. And he picks up this bloodied ear off the ground, doesn't sew it back on like a surgeon would. He simply heals it back on. And he tells Peter, shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me? Jesus was willing to go to the cross. 8 chapters earlier in John chapter 10, he declared, the reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And so Jesus was arrested, and it set in motion the succeeding events of him going before the religious leaders, being declared worthy of death, being taken to Pontius Pilate, where he was eventually sentenced to die on a cross. And all of these events, he demonstrates that he is God himself, who came to live among us in order to do just one thing. In order to make it possible for you and me to live with Emmanuel for all eternity. God has always been with his people, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and with you and I today. And what we take out of this word Emmanuel is, there's nothing to be afraid of. Because our God is with us. And he promises to be with us throughout the ages. And it's the reason why Emmanuel is a name of wondrous love. Amen. Let's join now in gathering the offering, and please sign the record of fellowship, friendship register.